This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Sai, Ferchen Chanukah. This is our final Shir on Chanukah. And also our only Shir on Chanukah. So let us begin. This subject is quite a loaded topic. It's a subject that has been percolating in my mind for many years. And it was something that I had been hesitant to give over for a number of reasons, which I will tell you. But here we are, so let's go. In the Alanisim, we're all familiar, we say, B'mei Matas Yohu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So, firstly, we would like to identify who was Matas Yohu, and who was this Yochanan? Who was he? And we talk about the reign of the Malchus Yavon, who stood up against Klal Yisrael, and they made their decrees. And then Hashem made a miracle, and he made a great name for himself, and he saved us. V'achar kein bo'u v'anecha. And then your children came. Okay, where'd they come from? It should say, V'achar kein, pinu aseichalecha, v'tiras mikdoshecha. What do you mean they came? They were never chased out of Yerushalayim. Maybe they had a ride on the horn of an ox. So there was no decree kicking anyone out of Yerushalayim or the Beis HaMikdash. So where do they come from? You know, Mayayin Basem. V'achar kein bo'u v'anecha. Where exactly did they come from? Marv Raboisai, we are going to completely revolutionize and change the way that we understand Chanukah. Whatever they told you until now, you should just know it's Sheker V'Chazav. You have absolutely no idea what Chanukah is, and it's not your fault, and it's not their fault either. They intentionally hid it from you. It's not something that most people are able to understand. But if you made it here today, okay, you're going to get the real scoop. What exactly transpired. So I know, yeah, you went to many shiurim and they told you about the miracle of the oil, and here we have a nice menorah with eight candles, and there was this flask in the Beis HaMikdash, and it was supposed to last for one day, and it lasted for 8 days. And if you think that the reason we have a Yom Tov of Chanukah is to commemorate a miracle, that a little bit of oil that was only supposed to last for one day lasts for 8 days, I mean, I have a bridge to sell you. There is no way that Chazal would be koiveya a yomtif for oil. Imagine, oh, you see this oil? It was supposed to be one day, and we have 8 days. Yeah, there's an 8-day yomtif. I mean, we're making a yomtif to commemorate a miracle. We don't make yomim tovim to commemorate miracles. I mean, in the Beis HaMikdash, every day there were 10 nisim. Could somebody tell me, so what are all these yomim tovim for the 10 miracles? Why don't we have Yom Tov where everyone goes to the butcher and buys meat and leaves it out for a week, and then he eats it to commemorate the miracle that the meat didn't rot in the Beis HaMikdash? Or why? I mean, we don't have a miracle to commemorate that. Why don't we have a miracle where we light fires in the wind and to commemorate the fact that the wind didn't blow the fire? We don't make Yom Tovim to commemorate miracles. So what was the big deal that this little flask of oil lasted for 8 days? So what do you think was going on in the Beis HaMikdash? Being in the Beis HaMikdash, is that called Kaseder Nahog? I mean, the Beis HaMikdash, especially, the last miracle you would ever commemorate is the miracle of the oil. The Ner Ma'aravi in the Beis HaMikdash, it didn't last for 8 days. And it didn't last for 8 months. And it didn't last for 8 years. They lit the Ner Ma'aravi in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, and it burnt for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, 410 years. So could somebody tell me I'm missing something? If oil that's supposed to last for one day lasts for 8 days, you have an 8-day Yom Tov. So where's my 410-year Yom Tov? You know, let's do it the whole year. Could somebody tell me which Yom Tov did I forget to celebrate commemorating the 410 years of the Ner never going out in the first Bayis? By the way, it continued to burn during Bayis Sheni until the times of Shimon HaTzadik, where it started to flicker already. So what is the big deal that this light lasted 8 days? Can you imagine? 410 years, nothing. 8 days, ho-ho! We have to make a Yom Tov. Well, what in the world is going on? That's a Yom Tov? 410 years, not? So, I mean, realistically, to make a Yom Tov for something burning 8 days doesn't sound that much of note. And then Elamai, you'll say, come on. Military victory, Rabim biyad ma'atim. You know, the Rashi says in Parshas Vezayis Habracha in the pasuk Baruch Hashem Cheloi, that how big was the army of the Chashmonaim? So So you can tell me different books that you've read. I'll tell you what Rashi says. Rashi says, Elazar and the 12 Chashmonam. 13 people in the army. That's very few. That's a small army, right? 13 people. So however much... So maybe you'll say we're commemorating the miracle, the military victory. It was a statistically impossible victory. The stakes were stacked against us, and we pulled it out, and we won. You know, we were the underdogs, and we won. So the question is, every single war that the Jewish people ever fought was Rabban Biyad Ma'atim. How about when Yehoshua ben Nun took the Jewish people into Canaan and defeated the 31 kings? That was like, you know, 100,000 versus 100,000. That was also Rabban Biyad Ma'atim. Could someone tell me what Yom Tov do we celebrate to commemorate Yehoshua's victory, defeating the 31 kings? All the wars that we've ever fought throughout history, when we defeated the Canaanim, we defeated Yanai HaMelech, those were also great victories. We do not commemorate such miracles. So not the Nes HaShemen, and not the military victory, neither seems to be really of note. So what exactly are we celebrating on Hanukkah? By the way, what I'm going to tell you today, I once heard many years ago on a tape from a great rabbi. His name was Rabbi Isaac Bernstein. He was a rabbi in London. He was originally from Ireland. And he quoted over something that he heard from Rav Soloveitchik. So I'll tell you, at first I was hesitant to say it over. First of all, I guess in the yeshiva that I come from, that's not necessarily a Rosh Yeshiva that's quoted that often. But even so, he was a great guy and his great Talmud Chacham. My grandfather told me he used to go to his yard site shiurim, and it would be for hours and hours and hours, like Kamayan HaMesgaber. But the idea really, and the reason why I was very hesitant to say it over, is it was more recorded orally. I never saw it inside. I always like to have the sources of where the information comes from. So I never saw it anywhere inside. And really, the idea that is advanced is so novel and so unusual, and it's not something that almost anybody's familiar with. So I was very hesitant to give it over. But nevertheless, I came across where this drasha was published. It was published in the 65th edition of a journal called Hadaraim. But even so, as you'll see, it's somewhat of a very novel idea. And hopefully we could substantiate the basic concepts to the best of our ability. Let's deal with another question. Famous question. And that is, even though Hanukkah is mentioned a number of times in the Mishnah, anybody know how many times Hanukkah is mentioned in the Mishnah? Six times in the Mishnah. In Masechta Bikurim, it says, Yirmevi v'kare Bikurim until Hanukkah. In fact, one of the Shir Shalyam of Hanukkah is Mizmar Shir, Hanukkah's Habayis, L'David. The question is, what does that have to do with Hanukkah? Oh, because it says the word Chanukas. Oh, yeah. So you're telling me because it says the word Chanukas, which has nothing to do with Hanukkah, so we have to say the whole... It's like this. When you're maybe Bikurim, what pasuk is said when you're maybe Bikurim? Aray Mimcha Hashem Kidili Sani V'loisi Machtoi V'ayli. That's the parsha Mikra Bikurim. So you're maybe Vikari until Chanukah. So that's one of the connections of Mizmar Shir Chanukas Abayis. To Hanukkah. Number two, we say in Masechta Rosh Hashanah that they would send out shluchim and kislev because of Hanukkah. It's mentioned in Masechta Tainis, Masechta Megillah, Masechta Moed Katan, and Baba Kama, as we will see. So six times. And there's a famous question. Yeah? You know this part? There's a famous question, right? There's a famous question. The question is, why is there no Masechta of Gemara or Mishnah on Hanukkah, right? That's a well-known question. And there's also a well-known comment of the Chassam Sofer, which is quoted in the Tamei HaMinhagim, and it's sort of questionable and controversial. Did the Chassam Sofer say this? What does he mean? It should be a number 5 on your sheets. Some of you have the correct version, others don't. And that is, why is there no Masechta on Hanukkah? And supposedly, what? Yeah, some say, we said over here, that the Vilna Gaon says it was lost. Okay, supposedly, Sam Sofer says that the redactor of the Mishnah was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who comes from David HaMelech, and the Hashmonam unlawfully took over the Melucha. So to stand up for the honor of his household, the Beis David, he didn't want to give credit to the Hashmonam, and therefore he omitted them from the Mishnah. So it's somewhat controversial. Why is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi letting, you know, personal feelings guide him in terms of how to compile the Mishnah? And the explanation might be, this is not, obviously he's not taking up a personal cause, but correctly so, the Hashmonam made an error. As Ramban points out, that even though they were Chassidei Elyon, and if not for them, the Torah would have been forgotten, but still they made a mistake by taking over the Melucha, and therefore he, with the Divine Spirit, correctly did not give them a certain degree of credit as a punishment for what they did. But be it as it may, Rabbeisai, we're going to learn today, possibly, the definitive reason why there's no Masechta on Chanukah. And I assume this is a reason that nobody ever heard before. Okay. And with that, let us proceed. Says Rav Soloveitchik, there is a tremendous and erroneous understanding of the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And that is, many of us feel we're celebrating the miracle of the oil, others feel we're celebrating the military of victory. The truth is, neither are correct. This is only what they teach you in yeshiva, because we're not on the level of sophistication to appreciate really what happened, because it's not necessarily safe for the Jewish people to know the real story of Hanukkah. Say, you know, this sounds very juicy. Well, what are they hiding from me? You know, what didn't they tell me? Well, says Rav Soloveitchik, to understand what happened on Hanukkah, you have to ask a contradiction between two Gemaras and Shas. The answer to this stira will give you a clue into what really took place in the miracles of Hanukkah. Let's start at number 6. The Gemara Moed Katan, Daf Chavav Amar Aleph. Says the Gemara, Amar Av Chelbay, Amar Av Huna. Haroya Sefer Torah Shenikra. One who sees a Sefer Torah that is torn, Chas V'Sham Loyalein, if a person sees that a Sefer Torah is torn, Chayiv L'Kraya Shtei Kriyais. You have to tear two tearings. Echad Al Hagvil, one for the tearing of the parchment, V'yechad al haksav, and one for the tearing of the writing. Shenemar, acharei soroif hamelech, after Yehoyakim burned as hamegillah, the parchment, v'yes hadvarim, and the words. So if lo'yaleinu, a person sees a sefer Torah torn, you need to rice kriya two times, one for the parchment and one for the words. So you say, why does parchment have kedusha? So it could be, it's the kli on which the words are written, and therefore it requires a separate kriya. You know, there's an idea that the Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Yisrael stands for Yesh Shishim Riboy Oisiyos LaTorah, that there are 600,000 letters on the Torah. Question is, if you count them, you only have about half that amount, 300,000 and change. So one of the answers given is, there are the black letters and there are the white letters. They're in between the lines, the spaces. The spaces is the gavil. The gavil also has kedusha. Be it as it may, if somebody witnesses this terrible scene, they have to rice kriya twice. Aber, if you look in the Gemara Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara tells us the story, the tragic story of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon. Matzuhu Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon, shehayo yoshev v'oisek b'toira. They took out Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon. He was sitting and he was involved in learning. Umakil kehilos barabim. And he was gathering groups publicly. The Sefer Torah munach loy b'cheikoy. And there was a Sefer Torah placed in his lap. Heviyuhu v'korachu b'Sefer Torah. So they brought him and they wrapped the body, the holy body of Rav Chanina ben Tradyon. They wrapped him in the Sefer Torah. V'hikifu b'chavilei zmoiros. And they encircled him with vine branches. V'hitzisu b'henes ha'ar. And they lit the fire. And then, to prolong his agony and prolong his death, v'hiviyu sefugin shel tzemer, they brought sponges of wool, v'sharum b'mayim, and they soaked it in water, v'hinichum alibay, and they placed it on his heart, k'dei shel etetzei nishmasai mehera, so that he shouldn't die suddenly. Amra loy bitai, his daughter said, Abba, erecha b'kach, do I need to see you like this? Look what kind of terrible situation you're in. Amar la, il mole ani nisrafti levadi, if I would be burned alone, hayadavar kasha alai, it would be very difficult for me. I would be burnt, long forgotten, and relegated to the ash heaps. Achshav shani nisraf v'sefer Torah imi. Now that I'm being burnt with the sefer Torah, misha mevake shel boina shel Torah, hu yevake shel boini. The one who will take up the cause of the Torah, he'll take up my cause. I won't be forgotten, because I am eternally bound with the Torah. Amrulai Talmidav, Rebbe, Ma'a Torahya. Rebbe, what do you see? Amar Lohen, Gilyain Nisrafin. I see. What?
Two big vilim.
Okay.
You have the correction.
Yeah?
You have the afterlife.
Okay. Maybe. Maybe not. That's what it says. Gilyain or Gvilin Nisrafin. The parchment is burning. The Oisiyos Parchais. And the letters are flying off. What does this mean? That means when the Goyim burned the Sefer Torah, they only were able to burn the parchment. They were only able to burn the paper. But the letters flew off. The Goyim had no shlita. They had no dominion to destroy the Oisiyos HaTorah. So Frechter of Soloveitchik, if that's the case, if when a Sefer Torah is burnt, the letters fly off, meaning the fire only consumes the parchment, does not consume the Oisiyos, why then is one required to tear a kriya twice? One for the parchment, one for the letters. The parchment, I understand, goes up in flames. But the oisiris are pireach. The oisiris are parchois. If that's the case, one should only tear kriya one time for the gvilin and not for the oisiris. After all, gvilin is rafin, the oisiris, parchois. That's the question of Rav Soloveitchik. It's there, still there. When you burn, when a Sefer Torah is burned, the letters are still burnt. But apparently, the fire is not able to destroy the kedusha of the letters. So tearing is able to destroy the kedusha of the letters. What's the difference between tearing and burning? Marvar Aboisai says Rav Soloveitchik, the key to understanding the events of Chanukah lie in being able to reconcile these two Gemaras. And that is, says Rav Soloveitchik, there is a misconception of Chanukah. Certainly in the secular world, in the Gentile world, Chanukah is viewed as some type of military heroism, and how the Jews showed Jewish resistance and Jewish might. That's certainly erroneous. But not only is there error in understanding Chanukah in the Gentile world, there is tremendous error in understanding Chanukah in the Jewish world. And not only in the Jewish world that's not educated, but even unzere heimische Yidden, as they say, even among us, yeshiva-educated Jews, there is a gross misunderstanding of Chanukah, and it's not our fault. It's been hidden from us. It's been covered up. You know, there's an expression in America, thrown under the rug. It's a skeleton that we put in the closet. And that is, says Rav Soloveitchik, there's a fundamental difference between what transpired on Chanukah and every other Jewish tragedy. All other Jewish tragedy, the Goyim come along, lahashmid, laharoig, liabed. They're coming to destroy us, annihilate us physically. And that is something that Goyim are well equipped and are capable of. They are capable of destruction. However, there's another type of threat that we have, and this type of threat, Gentiles do not have the ability to achieve. And that is the concept of lechalel ulatame. They don't have the ability to make something profane, and they don't have the ability to make something tame. What do I mean? I'll give you an example. The holier something is, the more their ability is to render something tame. So for example, you go to a restaurant, you give your kids breakfast. Oh, say, Beryl, Yankala, make sure you wash negovasa before you eat breakfast. Don't touch the food before you put it in your mouth, because you know at night, the neshama leaves the body and your hands become tame, so you don't want to put tuma on the food. You don't want, fine. What about you go into the bagel store and, you know, the Hispanic guy He's handling your bagel, and he's putting cream cheese on it. And he's not wearing gloves. Look closely. He's not wearing gloves, right? But I have a kasha. But did Jose wash negel vaser? Do you tell Jose, hey, Jose, pal, before you touch my bagel, just go ahead, wash right, left, not right, left, right, left, right, left, right, and say moida ani. But don't say reishis chacham until you say berachas haTorah. You give him the whole rhetoric? Wow. I have a question. Does Jose wash negel vaser before he touches your bagel? The answer is no. Well, how could you eat it? The answer is because goyim are not metame. You're saying a Jew is metame and a goy, that's right. Only someone who has connection to tahara can be vulnerable and become tame. A Gentile who has no concept of tahara cannot become tame. That being the case, what exactly happened in the Beis HaMikdash? In the times of the Yevanim, they were not out lahashmid, laroig, uliabed, to destroy us. They didn't want to hurt us. They didn't want to harm us. They didn't want to cause any suffering to us. All they wanted to do is latame ulechalel. But do goyim have the capacity to do that? So before we proceed, says Rav Soloveitchik, let's answer the stira between avodah zarah and moed katan. In the Gemara in Moed Katan, it says if you see a Sefer Torah torn, you need to rip Kriya for the parchment and the letters. The Gemara was talking about when you see a Yid tear a Sefer Torah. A Yid is well equipped not only to tear paper, but to destroy Torah. A guy will never destroy Torah. A guy cannot tamper with Torah. A guy could be lahashmid, laroik, uliabid, cannot be mechalel, cannot be metame. A yid could be mechalel, a yid could be metame. The Gemara in Mayid Katan that says, if you see the Sefer Torah torn, you need to tear Kriya twice. That's if you see a Jew tear a Sefer Torah. It's talking about Yehoyakim tearing the Sefer Torah. A yid could tear the parchment, and a yid could destroy the letters of the Torah. Look around the world today. We have different threats. You have Iran, you have North Korea. Their threat is lahashmid larei guli abed. They cannot tamper with the Torah. You know the only ones who could tamper with the Torah? Different streams of Judaism. Reform, conservative, open. They're different. They're the ones who could destroy the Torah. Mehar sayich. The only ones who could tamper with the Torah are the Jews. A Jew is well equipped to destroy the Torah. A guy can't touch the Torah. Therefore, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, when Rav Chanina ben Tradyon saw the Sefer Torah being burnt, he only saw the parchment being burnt. But the letters were flying away. You know why? Because the Romans were burning the Sefer Torah. When the Romans burn a Sefer Torah, it's the Gevil is burnt and Oisi Ois Parchais. Says Rav Soloveitchik, that's the key. It depends who's doing the destruction. A Jew does the destruction, he could tamper the Torah itself. A Goy does the destruction, he only has power over the Gevilin. So what's going on then? If Galus Yavan was not Lahashmil Argali Abed, and it was only Latameo Lachalel, so how did the Goyim do it? And the answer is the Goyim didn't do it. And the answer is, they didn't tell you the true story. And you know what the true story is? It wasn't a war of Jews against Yavan. Lo'hayah v'lo'y nivra. It was Jew against Jew. It was Yid, it was Yehudi versus Misyavni. It was Yid against Yid. It was Jew versus alternative Judaism. Says Rav Soloveitchik, and this is something I never heard before, and this is something I would like to maybe substantiate to some level. Says Rav Soloveitchik, this is the only time in Jewish history the vast majority of the Jewish people left Judaism. He writes openly. The majority of Jews left the fold. You know, you have kids off the derech, kids at risk. No. This was nation at risk. It's not at risk. The majority of the Jewish people did not remain loyal to Torah mitzvahs. The fight was not against the Greeks. The Greeks had enough to worry about, the gladiators. And it was the Misyavnim who were influenced by Greek culture who were fighting against the Jewish people. To the point where very, very, very few people remain loyal to Judaism. says Rav Soloveitchik, Neve Kasha, look in the Alanisim. The Alanisim says, Rabim Biyad Ma'atim, Tameim Biyad Tahirim, Rishon Biyad Tzadikim. No, hit the nail on the head. Say Yisraelim Biyad Goyim. I mean, we say every other possible war. Rabim Biyad Ma'atim, Tameim Biyad Tahirim, Rishon Biyad Tzadikim, Zidim Biyad Ozgir Tzadikim. So say it already. Jew to Goy. The answer is because Loi Haya V'Loi Nivra. That never happened. It wasn't Jew against Goy. That wasn't the fight. It wasn't the majority of Jewish people. They didn't convert to a different religion. Whether that belief itself... No, they didn't convert. They didn't convert to Islam. They may have believed he was the Mashiach. Okay. We'll talk about that. Even... True, but to formally abandon the faith, this was the first and last time, says Rav Soloveitchik, that this...
The majority did.
Again, we have to... Oh! The reason it doesn't say Yisraelim biyad goyim is because that was not what Hanukkah was about. It was Yisraeli biyad Yisraeli. If you want to know why there's no Masechta on Hanukkah, now this is not written in the published Rasha, but I heard it said. If you want to know why there's no Masechta on Hanukkah, it's because this is not something we talk about. What do you want it to say? Imagine it would say, "Hi, Maisa Shahaya, the Zman Hayavanim, Roiv Ruvay Shal Yisrael, Azaves Hashem Yisbarach, V'nisboilulu, Umoide B'lekim Acherim." Right? What do you want it to say? You want it to give the whole story? You want it to write? You want to have a Yichus Brivul? How all of most of Klal Yisrael, including maybe our own ancestors, left the fold? This is not going to be good for Shaduchim, I guarantee you. You know, when they find out that you have this story written about you, that your great-great-grandfather in the time of the Yevanim left the fold, it's embarrassing. It's just downright embarrassing. The Hanukkah story is the lowest point in Jewish history. It is what we are embarrassed of more than anything else in our history. And therefore, there's no Gemara on Hanukkah just to preserve the dignity of the history of the Jewish people. When it says, V'achar kein bo'u banecha, says Rav Soloveitchik, and then your children came, where did they come from? They came from a different religion back to Judaism. That's where they came from. They came from abandoning the faith. They came from throwing away Judaism. Bo'u banecha, your children, that Yisrael, afal pi shechata Yisrael hu, they came back to the fold. That's what happened. Amacha, your people, einam b'chlal amisecha. You denounce the fold, you're not part of the Jewish people anymore. You lost it. You're not part, right? Einam b'chlal amisecha. Ah, Yisrael, he's still Yisrael, but he's not, but he leaves the Am. He leaves the Am. Marv Raboisai, Rav Soloveitchik says there are always two parts of the story. There's the open revealed story. There's a story that everybody knows about. Everybody knows about the oil. Everybody knows about the military victory. But then there's the rest of the story. And in terms of Hanukkah, if you want to really understand and appreciate what took place, you cannot just accept the headlines of what we've always heard. You have to know that the real story was the majority of Klal Yisrael left the fold. It was only being preserved by minutia of the Jewish people. And then when they rededicated themselves to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, to sanctify the Beis HaMikdash, to purify the Beis HaMikdash, they brought Jews back with them. That's what preserved Torah for Klal Yisrael. This is not the popular version of the story, but this is the true version of the story. Okay, so I think there are a number of things that we need to analyze. Number one, the basic concept is that a Jew could be mechalel and be metame, a Gentile is not able to do that. Is that halachically true? Is that correct? Can a Gentile be metame and be mechalel, or can only a Jew be mechalel and be metame? That's one thing we need to examine. Another thing we need to examine is, historically, is this what took place? Did the majority of the Jewish people leave the fold? Or is this some kind of exaggerated version of the facts? I mean, I don't think anyone here ever heard this before, that the vast majority of the Jewish people left Klal Yisrael So let's see what we can do to determine, based on these traditional sources, what in fact the rules are of Chilul and Tumah, and what did take place in the times of Chanukah. Okay, let us proceed. Take a look at number 9, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. Lema Misayele. Let us bring a proof. Says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Nun Beis Amud Beis. Mizrachis Tzifonis, the northeast chamber. Bagonzu Beis Chashmonai Es Avnei HaMizbeach. The house of the Chashmonaim preserved and hid the stones of the altar. Sheshiktsu anshe Yavan, that the men of Yavan defiled and disgraced and destroyed. So here the Gemara is telling us an interesting idea, that the Yavanim of all the Kehillim of the Beis HaMikdash, they were Meshaketz the Mizbeach. Amar Rav Sheshes, Sheshiktsu la'avodes koichavim, they disgraced it and defiled it for idolatry. Amar Rav Papa said, how could they do that? What was the procedure that they used to defile the Mizbeach? Hasam kra ashkach v'darash. They found a pasuk and they expelled it. D'chsev uba uba pritzim v'chululuha. The pritzim, the wanton ones, the defiant ones, they came and they secularized, they profaned the mizbeach. So the Yavanim came in. Look at the Gemara. The Gemara says the anshe Yavan came in and they defiled the mizbeach. How did they defile the mizbeach? Bo pritzim chiluluha. So now the question is, what do you mean, bo pritzim chiluluha? By the way, I'll tell you something interesting. Because the mizbeach was defiled, you know, what does Chanukah mean? What does Chanukah mean? So the famous pshat of the Ran is Chanu Chafei. They rested on the 25th day of Kislev from the battle. But the Marsha gives a different pshat. Maybe we'll discuss it more a different time. Discuss it tomorrow on Young Israel. The Marsha says, Chanu Chafei. Chanu means they rested. It's a lashon of Malacha. And we know on Chanukah, it's not a yomtif. You're allowed to do Malacha. So you can't say Chanu Chafei means they rested from Malacha. So Marsha says, Chanukah is a lashon of inauguration. That when the Yavanim, when the Chashmonaim came into the Beis HaMikdash, they found the Mizbeach was defiled, like the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, and they needed to rededicate the Mizbeach. So the Chanukah is the rededication of the Mizbeach, Sheshiktsu Anshe Yavan. In fact, it's well known that Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach, the Chassam Orbach, would say that in order to commemorate this concept, that the Yavanim defiled the Mizbeach, and we rededicated in the time of Chanukah, so we have a tremendous mitzvah on Chanukah, and that is that even though these items are completely unhealthy, and they're mamish very dangerous, still, we're moiser nefesh to mekayim the mitzvah of eating jelly donuts. What's the pshat? How could you eat such things? It's you know, my father says a very important klal about these donuts. He said, "Ein lanu rishus lehishtamish bahem elo leroysam bilvad." His mamish sakana sefashos. Mamish sakana. To eat one of those things, you know what it could do? Mamish all that shemen, not a good idea. But still, what could we do? We're moiser nefesh in Mekayim the Minog Yisrael, right? Why? What's the inyan? Because we have to make an al hamichya. Why do we have to make an al hamichya? Because we have to daven al mizbechecha yal heichalecha. We have to daven for the restoration of the mizbeach, which shashiksu anshe yavan. The whole concept of Chanukah is rededication of the mizbeach. So if we're just going to eat bread, if you make a benching, if you stay benching, you can't... You don't daven for the restoration of the mizbeach. You just say rachim nashim al hashem recha. There's no mention of the mizbeach and benching. You want to know why? You'll have to come tomorrow to the shir to find out why. We're not going to give that to you today. But that's the inyan of eating jelly donut. So you say, why do I have to eat a jelly donut? Why can't I eat a cookie? That's beyond the scope of today's shir. But be it as it may, there's a concept that the Yavanim defiled the mizbeach. What's the procedure? Bow. Pritzim v'chiluluhu. So I have a question for you. If, let's say, you come to my house and you start bowing down to my table and worshipping my table as a Avodah Zarah, now I have to throw my table out? It's mine. Ein adam oyser davar shein shaloi. How could the Yavanim aser the Mizbeach? So there's a concept that something which is hektish is more susceptible and prone to going lost to tumah and avodah zara. So even though you can't worship my item, but for hektish, if you worship it, then it becomes metame, it becomes chulin. So what is the procedure of bo pritzim mechilaluhu? So I'm going to show you a very interesting machlokes rishonim. One opinion agrees with what Rav Soloveitchik said, and the other opinion does not agree with what he said. So if you look in the Baal Hamor, in Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Dalet, look at number 17. The Baal Hamor in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, look at number 8, well, let's start with number 18. Says number 18, Vadai al yedei oivdei koichavim. This is number 18 in the Ramban, in the Mechamos. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The eighth line on the third word. Vadai al yedei oivdei koichavim yatsu lechulin. Certainly through idolaters it went lechulin. What kind of idolaters? Goyim. But I thought goyim can't be mechalel. No, the Ramban says it's not true. Goyim can be mechalel. If a goy puts chazar on my table, it's not chulin. They can make a treif. They can make a treif. Well, that's because it's nivla from the tam of Isser. They could aser. They could aser, but to take kedusha and remove kedusha. So the Ramban learns goyim can be mechalel because the pasuk of bo pritzim mechaleluhu dekra ba'ovdei koychavim ksiv. Because the Navi is misnade on the Mikdash, that it will be destroyed. Who destroyed the Mikdash? Goyim. V'amar sheyatza l'chulin ayadam. Ugzeres ha-kosav hoya. It's ugzeres ha-kosav. So the Ramban says that Goyim indeed have the power to be mechalel. Not like we said from Rav Soloveitchik, that Goyim indeed could use a procedure called bo pritzim v'chileluhu. Comes the Baal Hamor. They profaned it. It doesn't have Kedusha anymore. Tameh means to make it defiled. Tameh, impure. No. It might be being used interchangeably here, but in general, the concept of Tumah is different than Chulin. Chulin is to remove Kedusha from something, which in general, Goyim can't do. Here, the Ramban is saying they were able to remove the Kedusha of the Mizbeach. Tameh is to give it like a positive degree of bad power. Ramban doesn't say that. According to Ramban, the Ramban says, Vaday aydei oivdei kachavim yatsu l'chulin. The Baal Hamor says, no! Goyim cannot be mechalel, Goyim cannot be metame. The Baal Hamor is on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10th line. V'darshu denafku l'chulin al yedei Yisrael! The Jews were meshakets the Mizbeach. The Goyim were not meshakets the Mizbeach because the Goyim cannot be meshakets the Mizbeach. The Zochu ba oivdei kam miyad Yisrael. The Sivu ba ba prince Galilu. Meaning, according to the Baal Hamor, the Goyim cannot remove the Kedusha of the Mizbeach. You know who defiled the Mizbeach? Our own people. The Misyavnim. The people who were influenced by Greek culture. So this idea of Rav Soloveitchik that there's a difference between if a Jew tears a Sefer Torah or if a Goy burns a Sefer Torah is very much substantiated in the opinion of the Baal Hamor. Not everybody agrees with the Shita of the Baal Hamor, but the idea is certainly true that a Jew has greater capacity to be mechalel and to be metame. Let's talk about his second point, that the vast majority of the Jewish people went off where himiru dasam. What evidence do we have to that? The answer is we're not going to find any evidence because that his whole thesis is based on the fact that why is there no Masechta on Chanukah? Because we're embarrassed about it. We're trying to hide the point. So we're not really going to find any information in Shas that the majority of Klal Yisrael, himiru dasam. But I think we can find a very significant substantiation from one word in the Al HaNisim. Marv Rabbi said, Bimei Matisyahu ben Yoichanan. Kohen Gadol. In the days of Matisyahu, the son of Yochanan. Yochanan. That got me thinking. Which Yochanan are we talking about? Yochanan Kohen Gadol? That Yochanan? The Gemara in Bracha says, that Abaye says, if someone's a tzaddik, they'll always be a tzaddik. If a person's a tzaddik, they can never become a rasha. The Gemara asks an Abai, look at number 19. V'hatnan, al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yoy moyscha. Do not believe in yourself until the day you go. Shahare yoychanan, kohen, gadol, shimesh, bekohuna, gadoyla, shmoinim shana. Young and adult served in this congregation 80 years. That means 80 years? The man went into the Kodesh HaKadosh, when he came out, everyone was singing, Mare Kohen, na 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 na. And the whole Kodesh was lining up to bask in the divine light that emanated from the face of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. At the end of his life, imagine Yochanan Kohen, and it's for 80 years, they would open up the Yad Tenemon, and they would open up the middle page, and there would be Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Was at a chasana, Masada Kedushin, Yochanan Kohen Gadol was speaking at a bris, Yochanan Kohen Gadol was sandik, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, they gave him pidyon peter chamor, everything, right? And then, after 80 years, then he's on the cover of different Jewish papers, he's not on the Yatet anymore. Yeah? What happened to him? Yochanan Kohen Gadol, 80 years, Shemesh, Rekohuna, Yochanan, Yosef, Naseh, Tzedoiki. He went off the daf. Not only that, he became an enemy of the Jewish people. Omer Abaye, so the kash is, but Abaye said, if you're a tzaddik, you can't be a rasha. Abaye said, no. Hu Yanai, hu Yochanan. Let me tell you something. Yochanan and Yanai are the same person. He started off a rasha. He became a tzaddik. But if you start off a rasha, then become a tzaddik, you could go off. But not if you start off, now, okay. Rav Omer, no. Yanai l'chud, Yochanan l'chud, Yanai rosh me'ikara. Yochanan was a tzaddik, and then he became a rasha. So we know there was an individual in Jewish history named Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who was a very big tzaddik, and then he became a rasha. He was koifer b'tar shabal peh, ve'ein loy chilek loy lamaba. So just one simple question. When we say b'mei matasyo ben Yochanan, is it that Yochanan? The father of matasyo? The hero of the Jewish people, was it that Yochanan? So let me share with you an incredible tshuva. Shalos to tshuvas Divrei Yitziv. Tshuvas of the Kloisenberger Rebbe. And the Kloisenberger Rebbe quotes his great-grandfather, the Bnei Yisaskar, that the Bnei Yisaskar says, who exactly is the father of Matasyo? Was it Yochanan Kohen Gadol who went off the Derech? Says the Bnei Yisaskar, yes! Yes, absolutely. No question. You know who else says that? None other than Boitzina Dinahira, the Maggid of Mezrich. Baruch Mimezbej. Mimezbej. The Maggid of Baruch Mimezbej. Why? That Yochanan Kohen Gadol became a Tzedoiki, and his Tikkun came through the miracle of Chanukah. Why? Very interesting. He brings the Seder Hadoiros that Yochanan, who became a Tzedoiki, was somebody else. He was the grandson of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So now that we have a machlokes, was it Yochanan Kohen Gadol, was he the Tzedoiki, or was the Tzedoiki a grandson? However, Rav Baruch Mimezbej says, no, the father of Matasyo was Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who served as Kohen Gadol 80 years and then became a Tzedoki. You know what the proof is? Who knows? What was the main battle between the Tzedokim and the Prushim? That we hold, the Kohen Gadol goes inside and prepares the Ketores, and the Tzedokim hold, prepare the Ketores outside, Kibe Anon Eiro Elakabers, and then you go in. That means if Yochanan Kohen Gadol became a Tzedoki, his infraction was he prepared the Ketores Mibachutz! Says Reb Baruch Mimezbej, one of the most astounding things you'll ever hear. You open up Masechta Baba Kama, and all of a sudden there's this obscure reference to Chanukah. It says, in Hini Achen V'ni Haner Mibachutz Chayiv Omar Reb Yochanan B'ner Chanukah Potter, says the Maggid. Chen V'ni is Oisi Ois Yochanan. Chen V'ni is a reference to Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan put the ner mi bachutz. You know what Yochanan is? He's chayiv. Comes Reb Yehuda HaMakabi. Come the Maccabees. The ner Chanukah? Hatter. What got Yochanan off the hook? What was Masake in Yochanan? The chen v'ni? Ner Chanukah. That's the remez in the Mishnah in Baba Kama. says the Maggid, the Rav Baruch Mimezhbezh, this is a tshuva b'makayim ho'avera. The avera was hiniach haner mi b'chutz. They prepared the ketores outside. That's why the Mishnah says chen v'ni sheniach ner mi b'chutz chayiv. Chen v'ni is yoichanan. Why call him a chen v'ni? Oisio is yoichanan. If you leave the ner of the ketores outside, you're chayiv. What was his tikkun? B'ner chanukah potter. Says the Kloisenberger Rebbe, that by the way, that my great-grandfather said, even though Yochanan Kohen Gadol became a tzaddiki, he was still a tzaddik gomor, and it was just a mistake, and he had Kabbalistic intentions, something to do with, we're not going to get into what exactly his cheshbonos were, but ultimately he had a tikkun through his son Matisyahu, and he says as follows. By the way, I have the B'nai Yisrael here on the sheets. He says, the B'nai Yisrael says, look at number 23, V'yirtza oid omroi ben Yochanan daika, hine omru b'gemara, that this miracle cannot be written down. It's Torah Shabbal Peh. And we know Torah Shabbal Peh, the tzedokim are koifer in it. Yochanan Kohen Gadol served 80 years. Now he writes in the Haggah, I'm a suppik whether it's that Yochanan or a different Yochanan. And even if you say it was that Yochanan, chas v'shalom, he became a complete tzaddiki, but it was just an error and on his level, but it doesn't mean he completely left the fold. Okay, that's the B'nai Yisoschar al-Pi Darkai. But he writes in the main print that based on the Arizal, he had to accomplish something, the Mesiras Nefesh, and that's why he did it. But nevertheless, Matasyo was masaking it, and he was koivea the menorah outside. Okay, be it as it may, it seems like the opinion of the Bnei Yisachar and the opinion of the Kloisenberger Rebbe was, in fact, and the opinion of the Maggid of Mezrich, Baruch Mimezhbezh, was that Yochanan Kohen Gadol was none other than the Yochanan who went off the Derech after 80 years. However, Rabbi, I think it's pretty safe to say that even though the Gemara doesn't tell us about the path of the majority of Klal Yisrael, I think it's pretty safe to say that if you have a Gadol Hadar and a Kohen Gadol that after 80 years left the fold and became a tzaddiki, what do you think the rest of the Jewish people did? You think they said, "Oh, it's just him. He had a chemical imbalance, and he went off." No, no, no. I guarantee you, if the Gadol Hadar is going off the path 2,000 years ago, he's probably taking the people with him. I think that's pretty reasonable to assume that this was not a one-person occurrence. This was probably symptomatic of the trends of the times. If Yochanan Kohen Gadol became a tzaddiki, that's because this was a pretty powerful movement that was taking place. This is the opinion of Rav Baruch Mimezhbezh, the B'nai Yisachar, the Kloisenberger Rebbe. I don't necessarily think it's correct. And again, I don't need to say that who am I to argue on the Kloisenberger Rebbe. It goes without saying. But I will tell you, the Vilna Gaon disagrees with the Kloisenberger Rebbe. The Vilna Gaon writes openly in the Imrei Noyam on Masechta Brachos, that when the Gemara says, Yochanan Kohen Gadol served in Kohuna Gadol for 80 years, the Gra writes, black and white, there were two Yochanan. Yochanan number one was the father of Matisyahu. He was a tzaddik gamor, meroish v'yad soif. Matisyahu had a son called Shimon. Shimon had a son, Yochanan. So Yochanan was named after his great-grandfather, right? Yochanan Kohen Gadol. That second Yochanan had a son, Yannai. Now there's a machloikis. Was Yochanan and Yannai two different people? Or is Yochanan and Yannai the same person? But they're not arguing about Yochanan, the father of Matisyahu. They're arguing about Yochanan, the son of Shimon, the son of Matisyahu. So the opinion of the Goyin is that it was not Yochanan Kohen Gadol who became a tzaddiki after 80 years. But even if it's not really correct that Yochanan Kohen Gadol went off the path, but the Kloisenberger Rebbe felt that it was reasonable that it was him. And the Baruch Mimezhbezh felt, yeah, it's very possible it was him, meaning they understood that based on the times, this was something that was taking place. So whether it was him or not, this is a position held by many Gedolei Yisrael. That means this is what was happening at the time, whether that individual was him or not. By the way, I'll just bring you others who say that it was him. If you look in the Divrei Shaul, Rabbi Yosef Shaul Halevi Natanzan, in the Divrei Shaul, I'm Sechem Rego Yud Aleph, it says on the Pasuk, V'yaf Gam Zois, V'yosem Mi'eretz Oyveihem, Loi Ma'astim, Loi Ga'altim, the Gemara says, Loi Ga'altim, B'mei Yevonim, because I gave them Shimon HaTzadik. So the Rabbi Yosef Shaul Halevi Natanzan is bothered by a question. Why in the world are we being Miyaches, Matas Yohu Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol? Yochanan Kohen Gadol became a tzedoki. Why are we giving this yichus? I mean, you think it's an honor to Matas Yohu that he's the son of Yochanan Kohen Gadol who became a tzedoki? So clearly, Rabbi Yosef Shaul Halevi Natanzan is agreeing with the Bnei Yisachar, and he's agreeing with the Kloisenberger Rebbe and Rabbi Baruch Mimezhbish that, in fact, this Yochanan was the Yochanan Kohen Gadol who went off the path. And he answers as follows. A very interesting answer. You know, if you see a kid and the tata is an oisfar, so then you can't help but think, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I mean, what's the kid going to be? So you might question Matas Yohu. He's the Jewish hero. He's the big tzaddik. But his father was a kind God who went off the path. So therefore, the Alanisim is Meyachesim. B'mei Matas Yohu. And you know what? His only connection to his father was his father as Kohen Gadol. But after his father went off the path, he didn't remain connected to his father anymore. But again, this is another opinion that the Yochanan and the Alanisim was a Yochanan Kohen Gadol who veered off the path. Again, the Vilna Gaon disagrees. And I think we could bring some degree of proof that the Yochanan and the Alanisim was not Yochanan Kohen Gadol who went off the path. And that is because if one were to count up the words of Alanisim, the Rishonim write, how many words are in Alanisim? So the Kolboy writes, there are 124 words in Alanisim. Keneged Yochanan! So I have a question for you. If this Yochanan was a Yochanan Kohen Gadol who became a tzedoki, we don't preserve tefillahs of people who become tzedakim. I mean, we have a rule that if somebody goes off the derech, we don't keep their svarim. In other words, if you have a rav who wrote a legitimate sefer and then he went off, you can't learn from that sefer. You're not to learn from it. So why would we keep the tefillah of Yochanan Kohen Gadol? Unless you say like the Vilna Gaon that the Yochanan b'mei mazim Kohen Gadol was not that Yochanan Kohen Gadol. By the way, the Rekeach writes there are 125 words in Alanisim, Keminyan Kohanim, and since Yochanan wrote it, he wanted to put in one extra word in the gematria of his name, Mibnei An V'Sanusay Hayisera, because of his humility. But be it as it may, if Alanisim was written by Yochanan, and Yochanan has the Baruch Mi Mezhbish writes, was the Yochanan Gadol who went off the path, it would make it rather questionable why we would preserve a tefillah written by somebody who is Nasa Tzedoki, even if he composed it when he was still a tzaddik. And then usually we would dismiss the tefillah. Even someone who has a tikkun, you know, that's Alpi Kabbalah. But at the end of the day, if somebody becomes a tzedoki, even if he has some kind of Kabbalistic tikkun to his child, I don't know. Be it as it may, there are legitimate opinions that the Yochanan and Alanisim was the Yochanan who went off the path, and I think it gives us a little bit of a picture of what was happening during the times. Even so, we still have not found any concrete source that says beferish that the majority of the Jewish people left the fold in the times of Hanukkah. The best source to this idea, a friend of mine, Rabbi Zachariah Holzer, who lives in Miami, he sent me a Maram Makam. He actually wrote over in English many of the drashas of Rav Soloveitchik, and he publishes different svarim from the Rishonim. So he sent me a very interesting Maram Makam. The number 27 is Hadrash V'Ha'iyon. Hadrash V'Ha'iyon are the drashas of the Reish HaRav. And the Reish HaRav Kemat says explicitly this idea that we're advancing. And the Reish HaRav says like this. Don't fool yourself that the miracle of Chanukah was that they found one flask of oil and it lasted for 8 days. It's just a mashal. It's just a parable. It's just an allegory. When the Gemara says the Yevanim entered the Heichal and they made impure all the oil, there's a mashal there. You know what the Shemen Zayis refers to? Us, the Jewish people. You know what it means? The Yevanim defiled most of the Shemen and the Heichal, all the Shemen and the Heichal. That means they basically destroyed Klal Yisrael. That they influenced Klal Yisrael to the point where there was no more oil left, meaning the vast majority of Jewish people left the fold. So where did the miracle of Hanukkah come from? They were able to find one pure flask of oil sealed with the signet of the Kohen Gadol, meaning there was a small remnant of the Jewish people that remained faithful to the faith, did not waver, was not influenced, remained neman to Torah mitzvahs. And that little flask of oil, which was only enough, let's say, to keep Klal Yisrael going for a short amount of time, Hashem made a great miracle, that from those few devout and loyal Kohanim, they were able to bring back the rest of Klal Yisrael, possibly in the greatest tshuva movement in our history, where the Alanisim alludes to this, V'achar kein bo'u v'necha, where these small Kohanim, this little remnant of the Jewish people, this one flask of oil, was able to overcome and overpower the Misyavnim influence and bring back the rest of the Jewish people. So if this is correct, the entire saga of Hanukkah is really couched in the famous parable of there's only enough oil to last for one day, and miraculously it lasted for 8 days. Maybe the meaning there is, not only did it last for 7 days, meaning for the Yemois HaTeva, for the rest of natural history, but it even lasted for 8 days. Now Klal Yisrael can exist, l'netzach netzachem, for all eternity, thanks to that one small few remnant of Jewish people who remained steadfast. Marva Rabbeisai, this is a completely revolutionary understanding of what transpired during Hanukkah, and I think it gives us an appreciation for what the Chashmonaim did, their commitment, their dedication, their devotion, and what we owe to them. We owe to them our lives as Yidden, and we should be zoicha that the light of Torah burn brightly. Ad biaskel tzedek and have yaminu amen.
Amen. Very beautiful. Beautiful. A
beautiful. You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.